Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Ryan Johansson coming up at 9:30. Preds forward will get his thoughts on a big win last night for the Nashville Predators. And Joe, what a big win it was. They get it done 3-2 in a shootout last night. Goals by Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene in regulation. And then Mikael Granlund scoring the game winner in the shootout as well. UC Soros coming up big. Three saves made in the shootout. And the Predators now improved to 93 points. They are 6 points clear of the Vegas Golden Knights with the same amount of games played. Now 2 points clear of the Dallas Stars. Preds have played one more game than Dallas has at this point. But that's a big win last night. Quite frankly, I mean, it was big just to get it to overtime and get the 1 point, but when you got the extra point to go along with it, giant for the Preds last night, and now 6 points up on Vegas. You're feeling pretty good about the spot you're sitting in right now if you're the Predators. By the way, still 1 point up on L.A., too, over in the Pacific Division, although their schedule is pretty soft coming down the stretch.
Yeah, and you got Vancouver, too, right, entering potentially, right?
Yep. I mean,
probably should mention, Vancouver also, being in this mix, if they, of course, they got a huge, did they end up winning last night?
They lost Vancouver? In the shootout.
Okay, they lost in the shootout. They got a point, yeah. But, I mean, you put them in, I mean, they are right there tied with Vegas. Now at 87. That's the thing. So you're kind of, I mean, you're competing with them too. You got big time help from them in their win over Dallas, but they're in the mix there. And like you said, even without Drew Doughty, the Kings are in pretty good position to hold on to the three. And, could be Preds, Stars, Canucks, Knights, quite a finish here. But the Preds, last couple days have been huge in brightening the outlook for the Preds. What's the money puck percentage now?
I can look real quick. I think it's close to 95, but let me look real quick. Yeah. It is. Predators have a 97% chance to make the playoffs.
Wow.
That's high.
I still think money puck's a little high in general, but I could buy 91.
Hey,
maybe even 93.
They're at 97. Vegas is at 13.7. Vancouver at 5.3%. Vegas at 13.7%. Vancouver at 5.3%.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, last couple of days have been big. And it's just, so now basically the rest of this week, you got rest. You're gearing up for 5 games in 7 days of finish. I'm sure John Hines would love to take one of those games and put it like on the schedule tomorrow night to space this out a little bit, because two of your last 5 games are going to be game two of back-to-backs in which you're going to have to make goalie decisions. And we saw what he did last weekend. It didn't work out going with Soros instead of Riddick. But in the meantime, you also have some things that could happen for you this week that could, could make things easier on you by the next time you play Saturday at Tampa Bay.
I thought Soros looked really good last night. I know, they got a couple in there. First off, the Predators, when you hold Calgary to 21 shots on goal, and by the way, it's 21 shots on goal through the overtime period as well. So they did a really good job of kind of suppressing Calgary in terms of the shots on goal last night. Typically they're in the 30s, and Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports pointed this out. They've gotten over 40, I think 23 times this year, so they're pretty heavy on the shot volume. Predators did a really good job of defending them last night, but they still got some good looks, and Soros was there to answer the bell, of course, in regulation, but also in the shootout as well. I thought he looked pretty darn good last night.
I agree. It was sometimes those games, again, where you don't get a ton of work, you have the big moment here or there, it can make it tougher on a goalie. I thought they played well in front of him. I thought he looked good. He looked like, super fast side-to-side Soros. And obviously he's really good in those shootouts. That's not going to be a factor in the playoffs. But, hey, They got a good overtime and shootout record, and a lot of it is him.
And then Philip Forsberg back on the goal sheet last night as well. One-timer on the power play that Ryan Johansson set up for him, so he gets his 39th of the year. He had an 8-game goal drought heading into that game, and he scores last night. And then Matt Duchene becomes the first 40-goal scorer in Predators franchise history last night. Pretty cool moment. First off, the goal was weird. I mean, it was basically a bunch of bounces that deflected left and right, and I think, what did John Hines call it, an Easter egg hunt after the game? I mean, it was pretty amazing that that ended up going in. It was a goal and not a shot on goal for Matt Duchene, so you don't see that happen very often, but he becomes the first 40-goal scorer in franchise history. So the race to 40, Matt Duchene has won, but Philip Forsberg right behind him right now with 39. Good to see him back on the board, and pretty cool moment inside Bridgestone Arena last night when Duchene got his 40th and the crowd reacting the way they did.
Yeah, and of course, Duchene needed more games than Forsberg to get there, but what a story. Again, we've talked about it constantly, but like, it's a good chance to step back for a second and think about a guy who a year ago, you're like, it's just, I don't know, has he just fallen off the map here? Has he just fallen off the table? He's been in the league a long time. All of a sudden, this looks like a terrible signing by the Preds. Leave him unprotected. No thanks. And he comes out and scores 40 goals. I think it was – maybe it was on the postgame show with Darren McFarlane and Hal Gill. It was Darren definitely talking about this. Maybe it was on his show. I don't know. But he brought up a great point. Think about Seattle. You know, they had Tarasenko and Duchene sitting there for him, you know.
Yeah.
like obviously that wasn't their strategy at all, but like, what if Seattle had decided to go ahead and take Tarasenko and Duchene? And you know, you look at what they look like right now, how different might their what might their season be had they gone that route? But pretty amazing, Matt Duchene, to go from that, you know, just like looking like things were really bleak and like he was never going to play up to his contract, to now that contract is just fine. I mean, this is the best, the most productive year he's had in hockey. Quite a story.
Quite a story indeed. And quite an emotional moment for you last night with Callie Yarncroak returning for the first time. Jadeveon Rexkroak fully back in the building last night. Nice standing ovation tribute for Callie Yarncroak.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he almost scored again.
He did.
And I was like, on how many other teams is he going to score on the Preds this season? You know,
yeah.
He didn't quite get it done. Also, I got to shout out Adam Vingan because he's like, where's the Eric Goodbranson tribute video? I don't see an Eric Goodbranson tribute video, by the way.
Could have put up a photo of a traffic cone up there with his time with the Predators, but yeah.
He's been pretty good for them.
He's been good for Calgary. He was not for Predators.
Speaking of former, you know, Preds, winning goal last night by Kevin Fiala to make for number 30.
Yeah.
And I believe he's got 74 points on the year. So
pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yep. Pretty good. Hey, by the way, the guy the Preds got back won the game last night for them. So it's not like they got nothing back.
No. No question about it. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ryan Johansson coming up on the show at 9:30. Speaking of the Preds, make sure you join the Preds for the Smashville Open House event coming up this Saturday, April 23rd. All fans can sign up for a chance to shoot on net to win two lower-level half-season tickets. At this Open House event, you'll have your first chance to pick your seats for the 2022-23 season. Plus, there'll be inflatables and balloon artists, face painting for kids. Don't miss your chance to secure seats for the 2022-2023 season and guarantee access to every home playoff game this season with significant savings as well. They'll have Preds locker room tours, complimentary popcorn and Coca-Cola products, and 50% off of all other food and beverage as well. So make sure you check out the Smashville Open House coming up this Saturday, April the 23rd. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Comes out, and he makes the stop. And the Predators win in a shootout. It'll go down as a 3-2 Nashville win. Boy, did they need that one.
Big win for the Preds last night. They win 3-2 in the shootout against the Calgary Flames. up to 93 points now in the standings. We'll be joined by Ryan Johansson coming up at 9:30 here on the show. Make sure you join 102.5 The Game at Smokeville Smoke Shop today at 699 West Main Street in Hendersonville from 2 to 5 p.m. for their 420 blowout event. Discount store-wide, free dab bar, food and dessert trucks, and have live music as well. Plus, we'll have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. That's today from 2 to 5 p.m. at Smokeville Smoke Shop in Hendersonville. Make sure you also join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament, if I could talk today, benefiting Folds of Honors on May 16th. Coming up at Hermitage Golf Course, put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. You can sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, the Preds in Calgary could be the only two teams in hockey with 240 goal scorers. Now, they would be one of three because Edmonton already has two. They've got Draisaitl is over 50, and I think McDavid's at 42. But Gaudreau's at 38 for Calgary. Kachuk's at 39, and Lindholm's at 39 as well. So the Flames could have three guys that end up at 40.
They could have the only trio. And tell me how many teams have had trios of 40-plus. Ever.
Can't be very many, especially as of late. I mean, maybe in the 80s when it was fire wagon left and right, but as of late, it can't be a lot. Ryan in Nashville on the text line says, the Preds need to stop going into a defensive shell when they have the lead going into the third period. They did it last night and almost cost them the game because the Flames had all the momentum after the tying goal. This is coming from Ryan in Nashville on the text line.
You know, as I said earlier on the show, I got the very enjoyable experience last night of watching the game at the Bally desk with Crispy and Lindsay Rowley. And I would say, based on his analysis, his very colorful analysis, I would say that sometimes you need to like be careful with your passes. You know, I think the Preds were a lot better with that last night than they have been in some games, but the coach in him and the commentary running, there's a lot of instances where it's like, let me just summarize, Crispy's take: get the puck deep in their zone and go get it. Don't try to make these fancy passes and heroic plays. I think at one point he said, you don't need to wear the Lone Ranger mask. Get the puck deep.
Oh, he's a big Lone Ranger guy.
Yeah. You know, get the puck deep, go get it. This is what this team is. It's a forechecking team. Get it in there and then go hit somebody. So I don't know. Like, I think the Preds, at times can still hurt themselves trying to be cute. And again, maybe I'm influenced by watching a whole game with Crispy, but I think he makes a point there.
Let's go back to the text line. Sean texting in says, it only took Hartman and Fiala, 4 years to figure it out? The assumption always was that they would. We just didn't have those 4 years to wait. Well, in hindsight, we did. This coming from Sean on the text line.
Look, Fiala, they're two different, very different stories to me.
Yeah.
Fiala, we all knew Fiala had a lot of talent. I mean, he was showing the talent here, okay?
Yeah.
I also, like, that move, depending on what Granlund gave you, I didn't hate that move at the time. I mean, that was easily the best move they made of that offseason, trying to get like Wayne Simmonds and all this net front presence that didn't really pan out. But you knew, and David Poile said the day they traded Fiala, like at some point in the future, we may, look at this and say, wow, he's doing, you knew that. Hartman is, good for him, but I don't think you could have moved on fast enough from that guy. And it didn't work out for him in Philly either. So let's remember that.
He's got 31 goals. It's unbelievable.
That's stunning to me. I'm stunned. I thought it was like that to me. Obviously, the tourist deal is the tourist deal, but the Hartman deal for a first round pick, just and I never would have guessed that at any point in Hartman's career he would play to where you wouldn't be surprised to hear that he once got traded for a first round pick, but now. You watch him play, and that production is like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It didn't make sense for years.
Well, he's been in Minnesota now for three seasons, and he played in 69 games in 1920 and 9 goals, 20 total points. Last year, 51 games, 7 goals, 22 total points. I mean, it's like come out of nowhere. He's got 31 goals this year. I mean, congrats to Dean Evason, I guess, coaching him up. But my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, and congrats to Hartman. I mean, here we go with professional athletes actually can improve.
Yeah, they can. So we talked about this earlier with the win last night. The Predators are going to see if they make the playoffs, which according to MoneyPuck.com, 97% chance that they will. They're going to see either Calgary in the first round or Colorado in the first round based on the way St. Louis and Minnesota have played as of late. They're 4-1 against those teams. They've beaten Calgary twice this year. They'll see them again next week at Bridgestone Arena. And I would assume maybe Jacob Markstrom in net for that one, but we'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. They're 2-1 so far against the Avalanche. Now, as Avalanche Twitter would like to point out to me, there are some extenuating circumstances. They had a bunch of guys out for COVID in the first game, and apparently there was a missed too many men on the ice call in the second game. I'll have to go back and look at that. But regardless, the Predators are 4-1 against the top two teams in the Western Conference. Do you make anything of that as the Predators now prepare to play? You know, if they can collect a few more points here, they're playing one of those two. Do you take anything away from their record against those two this year?
Not really. Most of the successes are going back. And I guess what you take from it is that, like, you don't have to go into a series against either team and wonder if you can compete. Like, you know that when you are at your best, you can compete. You should know that anyway. I suppose if you had just been steamrolled by either team every time you played them, there'd be maybe a little bit of doubt. You don't have to have any doubt, but also, like, I don't think it necessarily translates to a series against them either. I think I'm different than you. I think it's a tough series and the Preds are not going to be favored, and I would not pick the Preds to win either series, but I like their chances quite a bit better against Calgary than I do against Colorado. Fully understanding that Colorado could end up being that team that just struggles with the playoff style, and they continue to have those problems. I think they're due for a breakthrough, and I just think that they're just flat out better than Calgary, as much as I respect Calgary. So I think it's a better matchup for the Preds if they can get Calgary. I think it'd be a really good series potentially. I don't know how much. I guess this win, of all those wins you mentioned, this one, even without Markstrom and even with them on a back-to-back, is probably a little bit of a confidence booster because you're not playing your best hockey. You really haven't been playing your best hockey on a consistent basis. You're trying to find things. You're trying to find the right lineup. You got guys coming in and out. I think we're going to see Michael McCarron come back Saturday. So you're kind of searching right now, and you got that. And the pressure was super high in that game, and you got that done. So maybe that one is one that you can kind of carry forward. Of course, like you said, Robbie, we get to see these teams play Tuesday, and so who knows? That could be a complete reversal.
Well, and it's always like it's difficult to translate regular season success to postseason as well. Like, the Predators have absolutely destroyed Minnesota this year, and they've got another chance of coming up on that on Sunday too. If the Predators in Minnesota play in a playoff series, would you pick the Predators to win? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I would certainly think about it more than I would Calgary and Colorado, but I think most people would still pick Minnesota to win that series, regardless of the fact that the Predators have basically just slapped them around so far this year.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, I mean, when it's consistently one thing, sometimes there is just like there's just a matchup thing there where, hey, why wouldn't it translate some, right?
Like the Blues against the Wild, the Blues are 12-1-1 in their last 14 against the Wild, and that's going to be the first round matchup, and there will still be people that pick the Wild to win, despite the fact that the Blues have totally kicked their butt the last 2-3 years.
Right, so I'd feel good about the Blues, but you know what? If you told me right now, you know, the Wild get the first one and just flip it around on them and win the series, I'm not going to be shocked because it just is. It is a totally different season.
Ty, texting in on the text line, says, the COVID excuse from the Avalanche is void. We had several out with two with COVID as well. Yeah, I don't buy the COVID stuff on that one. It was kind of a crazy game.
Yeah, I forget. I know this was brought up earlier, but both teams were missing. So it wasn't obviously like a ones against ones perfect matchup, but it wasn't just the Avs who were missing key people either. So And I have no idea this too many men thing. Kudos to you for holding that grudge for that long for one regular season game. I tip of the cap.
When your team has won like 56 games this year, way to go.
Yeah, yeah. I think maybe Nashville's in your head a little bit, huh?
Join 102.5 The Game this Saturday night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the two-time defending cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning as well. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6 o'clock coming up this Saturday night. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Predators. We'll be joined by Predators forward Ryan Johansson. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's time to go inside the locker room, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Social Furniture. Stop by Social Furniture today and see their new sofas they just got in on Charlotte Avenue. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators forward Ryan Johansson. Ryan, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So what did you think of that one last night? Kind of a playoff-style game. You guys get it done in the shootout. How big a win was that for you and your group last night?
Yeah, it was a huge win. It was a game that was a lot of fun to play in, actually, and obviously with only so many games left now and how important it was, but it was a great hockey game. They're a good team, and it was a fun one and a big win.
Ryan, what was the – I think John Hines said, and he said it last night too, you know, you don't want to overreact to a bad – basically a bad game, but a bad period in particular against St. Louis. But obviously you guys wanted to respond to that. What was the discussion like in the room from the end of that game and then leading into this one?
It was kind of like that. Like, it, you know, we were so embarrassed in the moment, which we should be, but, you know, you digest the game or dissect the game a little bit after the game was over, and you're like, man, it was only like an 8-minute stretch where they scored on every shot. They had like unbelievable shots, and then our brains turned off for a couple of goals when it was like 5-1. But like our first period was really good. We did a bunch of good things, and it wasn't like a panic button kind of loss that it maybe seemed like for people watching, and how it felt actually originally. But you know, Hindy came in with that message, and I thought it was great. It was, you know, there's no time to dwell on it. You dwell on that, and if we don't perform like we did last night, then we, you know, we might not have won that game, and we're able to just move on and beat one of the best teams in the league last night. So got our confidence right back where it needs to be, and just keep pressing on.
Ryan, what about you personally? I mean, I've talked to you a lot over the years about your game, and you're closing in on 60 points again and 23 goals this year. Just what's this year been like for you personally in terms of just how consistently productive you've been really from start to finish this year?
Yeah, it's, you know, I've been proud of my game throughout my career, and you know, definitely proud of how I've played this year, but you know, it's just nice to get on the score sheet and get some points and some goals and be more of a difference maker throughout games throughout the year on a consistent basis. And it's been a lot of fun, man. It's been a really fun year. There's so many good people in our room. You know, I know you guys see all the hockey stuff, but you know, good team, good group of guys, but just the character of people we have in our room, it's just been so much fun. And I've just really enjoyed this year. I've actually been talking to some friends and family, and this might be the most fun I've had in my whole career in a single season, and I've really enjoyed it.
Well, I want to follow up on that, Ryan. So, like you said, good people in the room. You guys have you guys have had a winning year, but what, give us some, maybe some more examples of why has this been the most fun year?
Well, it's pretty simple. It's like I said, it's just like the guys in our room. It's like, you know, it's just, we have so much fun. We care so much about each other. We want each other to succeed, and we're working so hard for each other. You know, it's no secret why guys are having career years. Like, we're all just having fun. We're all playing for each other, and every day we're excited to work with each other. And you know, in any line of business, anything you do in life, that's a key to success. And you know, we've been having a solid year as a team, and that's led to individual success, and guys are doing well. I mean, we're going to have 240-goal scorers. Like, that's incredible. Nashville's never seen that here in all the time. And you know, I just kind of sitting back and looking at the year the other day, I was like, you know, I think this is the most fun I've ever had in the NHL. I've really enjoyed it.
Ryan Johansson on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, obviously, you guys have made some adjustments to the lineup via injury or whatever the case may be, and Cody Glass has come up the last few games. What have you thought of Cody coming back in here and just the difference in him from the beginning of the year until now?
Yeah, you know, he's really impressed me, especially his last two games that he's played. You know, as a teammate and seeing a younger kid and a guy who hasn't had much of an opportunity this year, I've really been impressed with his competitiveness the last couple games. And you can just see it as a teammate, how he's gone out there and he's not taking no for an answer on all the little plays and all the kind of details and the hard plays that don't show up on the highlights or the score sheets, just things to help the team win. You know, he deserves a pat on the back for that right now, and I'm proud of him. He's another tremendous kid that we have in our organization, and it's been fun to see him come up and play well.
Ryan, how much was last night's performance what you're looking for? You know, in a postseason. I know you guys are trying to get there first, but you know, in a postseason performance, a postseason game or a series, and if you guys do have a series against Calgary, you know, I guess, are you thinking about that some? I mean, it's probably going to be Calgary or Colorado. What would you think about that possibility of seeing a lot of these guys? I know you're going to see them next week again too.
Yeah, no, totally. It's definitely in our minds. It's a very likely opportunity or chance for that to happen. So there was a lot of, you know, importance behind the game last night, and you know, so we come up with the win. We play well against them. We match up well against them, and you know, when you win games like that, it's a confidence thing within your room. You're kind of just looking around like, well, why can't we beat them in a playoff series? You know, if we can go out there and outplay them tonight, so. You know, it was a great game and a good response by our group where, you know, hopefully we can take that and you know, build our game even stronger moving down this last little chunk of games here.
Ryan, we've talked to you so much over the years about the power play, and you guys have been so consistent on the power play this year. I'm just curious, from your vantage point out there on the ice, why do you think that's been the case? Why have you guys been so consistent really from start to finish in that area this year, which is very difficult to do in this league?
Yeah, no, it is. And it's something we came in this year. I mean, we take a lot of pride in it every year, but there's just a big time emphasis coming into this year because we know how it's hurt us in the past. And you look at all the good teams and all the best teams in the league, they all have great power plays. And you know, Lambeau's done a great job with, you know, working with us and tinkering little things throughout the year and on a game-to-game basis, just adjustments and things like that. And you know, all five of us have on our unit just specifically, we've just committed to finding ways to be difference makers for our group. And, you know, we've obviously, you know, as individuals, we've been, you know, playing some good hockey and doing a lot of good things, but we feel dangerous. We, you know, and we need to continue that because, you know, power play can be a difference maker in games and especially in playoffs and trying to make teams pay. So, you know, it's been great to see and kind of, you know, rebound and getting our power play in the top ranks of the league.
If there's one thing about your game, Ryan, and when I say your game, I mean the team's game, you could say, okay, we do this or improve this, and we're going to be playing a lot of winning hockey in the next week and then beyond. What would it be?
Oh, good question. I don't think there's something where we need to search for or anything like that or find a way to do. I think that's what's a lot of fun about our group is we know when we're playing our best that we could beat anyone in the league. And the hardest thing about that, and the reason why it's so hard to do is just consistently is because you're playing against 20 other men that play in the NHL. And, but if we can just be as consistent as possible with playing our best brand of hockey, we're such a dangerous club. And that's a good, exciting feeling as a player on this team is knowing, you know, that we're so close to these playoffs and we just got to finish the job and get in and then, you know, polish up our game here in this last chunk of games, like I've said. And if we can play our brand of hockey as consistent as possible, we feel like we can beat anyone.
Well, Ryan, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Enjoy these next few days off before you're back at it against Tampa. And we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on. Have a good one.
Absolutely. You as well. Thanks, Ryan man. Johansson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Inside the Locker Room, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Social Furniture. Stop by Social Furniture today and see their new sofas they just got in on Charlotte Avenue. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The NBA playoffs are here, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many different ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. My Miami Heat off to a hot start in the playoffs. I would go Heat on the money line against the Hawks. Jimmy Butler over on points as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code Rob. Once again, that promo code is Rob. If you already have an account, you're all set to bet, no sweat. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet of $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox at First Horizon Park. Pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 6:20 and first pitch is at 6:35. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit LittleGuysFranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Ryan Johansson for joining us in the last segment. Big win last night for the Predators. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. John in Thompson Station texting in says, what do you think of putting Glass and Tomasino with Johansson, the fourth line being McCarron, Cousins and Tolvanen slash Cunning. I am interested to see, Joe Rexrode, if and when McCarron comes back in, which could be as soon as Saturday coming up against Tampa Bay, if he's back on the fourth line, could you do what John on the text line just threw out there of putting Glass and Tomasino with Johansson and moving Cousins and either Tolvanen or Cunning down to the fourth line as well? Interested to see what they do if McCarron comes back in.
Man, that's a lot of moving around.
It's a lot of moving around, and it's also a lot of young guys up in the top six this time of year.
Yeah, I don't – and that's the thing. Like, again, in right now you got to win. So you got to think in terms of winning. I mean, obviously, ideally, you're, like, safely in right now, and you can tinker with some things that might apply in the postseason, but a super young line is not going to apply to the postseason. So, look, if it gives you the best chance, great. But they just went to this Johansson, Cunning, Cousins thing. And, you know, Glass just got back in. Now I think McCarron's going to be back Saturday. And I think he'll be in the lineup. So, I think my guess would be, you know, would be that Glass is the odd man out and that it's going to end up being a brief appearance. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't think it's been – like, it hasn't been discouraging. I think you've noticed him out there some. Like maybe you could see some progress, some development from him after having a lot of production in Milwaukee. I just would assume it'd be him out, and then But as far as like, you know, what happens this game or the next game, then what's the best playoff approach, which they still have to get in, and that's I don't know what it is, but I do think still, right now you're loading up Duchesne and Forsberg together, which makes sense. I still think some combination in which they are separated would be ideal if it can work in a playoff series.
The last part of that sentence being the key phrase of if it can work. We'll have to see what happens on that front. What did you think of what Johansson said about, you know, him having the most fun that he's ever had playing hockey and maybe that being a reason why so many guys are having career years this year? What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's interesting. And again, this kind of and beyond, you know, the inside the room, what it's like. Obviously, I mean, I think it's not like he's the only one, or this is the only time we've heard about you know, a team that has good chemistry. You know, like it's a good situation in the room, which is, I think, a key to success. Some people call it culture. I would call it a work environment.
There you
know, if you have a positive work environment, it probably helps people do their jobs better. So that matches up with other things we've heard, but it's like you think about that and you think about a 40-goal scorer and you're about to have a second 40-goal scorer, first time ever. You think about Yossi, very close now to 90 points and all these things that have happened and Saros, and you're still talking about a team that's fighting to get into the postseason. And there's still like, and I know we've gone through all the different things with that, but it's still a little bit surprising to say it all together and try to figure it out.
Yeah. Ryan in Nashville on the text line says, take Nick Cousins out of the lineup for Michael McCarron. I don't think that Cousins is going to be the one coming out. I could be wrong, but that's my guess.
I mean, what? I would think Cunning would be out before Cousins.
I would agree.
I mean, maybe that's just me.
I would agree. You know, obviously, the big question here is Glass. Like, what are you doing with Glass if McCarron comes back in? Is he the one that is still in there, or is he out? I mean, he is a center, and I don't know where you're putting him. He can play wing, but he is a center. So, obviously, you're not moving Johansson and Granlund. And you're not moving Colton Sissons. And if Michael McCarron's coming back in, he's probably the fourth line center. So my guess is Cody Glass would be the one to come out. But if it's not him, I think it would be a Luke Cunning or an Eli Tolvanen before it would be Nick Cousins. Just my guess.
Yeah. I mean, I guess unfortunately, there's a lot of options, you know? So that almost kind of answers what I just said. Like, why is this? Like, how does it doesn't add together? Well, you got a whole bunch of guys that you're like, yeah, he could go out of the lineup, or he could go out of the lineup, or he could go out of the lineup. Well, that's kind of the problem, right? Is they haven't been able to find, you know, that consistent, you know, the secondary scoring, just the consistent support play from enough forwards this year. They do at least have some options. And I think McCarron, I think they've missed him. Like, I think McCarron fits what they like to do and will be centering that fourth line in the postseason.
He's scoring left and right before he got hurt, man.
Big Sexy.
Yeah, he was. I got a texture that says, luckily caught Calgary on the second game of a back-to-back with their backup goalie. Take the 2 points and prepare for Tampa Bay. What were you going to say, Joe?
Yes. Well, I agree with that. And they got plenty of time to prepare and rest. So they need to play well at Tampa Bay on Saturday. Tampa Bay, which, by the way, lost to the Red Wings last night.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I, on that list, I do want to – like, I got to go to 26, okay?
Okay.
Because Kyle Tucker texted me, and again, I just wanted to slap myself. I mean, Swingers has to be – Swingers has to be on there.
I haven't seen that one either.
Yeah. John Favreau, it's the first time anybody ever saw Vince Vaughn. And it's, I mean, the quotability, there's, if you watch that movie, you'll be like, oh, that's where that came from. Again, quotability is part of the thing here. So
now we're at 23 out of 26 that I've seen.
Okay.
Need to see Michelle? Office Space. Four. Apparently very badly.
4 out of 26 I've seen. So I've got about 22 to go.
There we go.
By the first Titans home game. I got it.
Lots of homework. All right. Let's see if Ryan Porth, maybe we can get him to do it too.
Maybe so. Who you have between the Nets and the Celtics tonight in game two? I'm going Celtics, not betting totally with my heart.
Yeah, I think the Nets are going to get them back. I think that's a heck of a win by the Celtics, and it gives them a chance. But I think the Nets are going to win. I still think the Nets are dangerous. You know, and another team we haven't really talked about, but the way they're playing right now, maybe it's just a bad matchup or a good matchup for them, but boy, Philly looks kind of good, don't they?
They look good.
Tyrese Maxey is, whew.
Where'd he go to college, Joe?
Oh, I know where he went to college.
Also, guys, we need to root for the Celtics because I will be in Boston first weekend in May, and I'm really trying to go to a game. So hopefully, fingers crossed. We're all rooting for the Celtics. Sorry, Joe.
By the way,
it's fine. My editor, Mitch Light, is a diehard Nets fan, like going back to the 70s. So I know he's not, but I am. I'm with you on the Celtics. It was so weird to root for the Celtics. Ugh.
By the way, dirty. Bulls and Bucks is already over. I know it's only 1-0 Milwaukee, but it's over. I'm just here to tell you.
Yeah, I agree. I actually thought the Bulls hung for like longer than I thought in one game that they would. But yeah, that one's not. And this is the problem with the NBA. When the NHL playoffs start, like every single matchup will be appealing.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen to any of them for sure. Even whoever plays Colorado, you know, whoever plays Florida, but that's an example of the NBA first round. You got a couple stinkers. That's a stinker.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.